The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hi, I'm former Buffalo Bills wide receiver Don Beebe, and you're listening to Nate and the Fellas on Circling the Wagons podcast on the Buffalo Rumblings podcast network. Because nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills.
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host, Nate. Thank you so much for joining us. In this episode, we talk with Dean Kindig of DraftTech.com and also the lead draft writer for BuffaloFanBase.com, which is the Bills Mafia's official website. We talk with him about everything draft prospect-wise. I talk with him about some positions that the Bills could potentially go after in the first round, second round, third round, some of the needs on the team. He's going to talk a lot about players that he likes and where they fit in the Bills scheme, you know, the tendencies of Brandon Bean and the Bills front office and what they like to draft based on where they've drafted before, the players that they've drafted before. And Dean is just, he's just extremely knowledgeable about all of these items. He's retired now, so he spends a lot of time, and this is his hobby, and he spends a lot of time doing this. And one of the things that sets him apart from almost every other draft analyst, besides the fact that he's Bill-centric, is that he tracks where the Bills front office and scouting staff is going to watch games. I mean, he has a whole list of ways that he keeps track of all this information. He goes into some of it. He doesn't give all of it away, but he does kind of give you an idea of who the Bills are looking at, who they might be interested in. And he has this really cool thing called a war chart, which he's going to go into, and it's free for anyone to take a look at. It's like a Google Sheets doc, like an Excel spreadsheet basically for Google. And it's got some really cool info, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. So without further ado, Dean Kindig from Draft Tech and BuffaloFanBase.com. He is the editor-in-chief at DraftTech.com, the Bills analyst over there at DraftTech.com, and he is the lead draft writer at BuffaloFanBase.com, the official Bills Mafia site, and the winner of our signed Devin Singletary jersey from Twitter last year. I'd like to welcome Dean Kindig to the podcast. Dean, it is so good to finally talk to you. How are you?
Oh, I'm delighted to be here. We just had our shots today, so we're all ready to go, and our sore armitis will be gone tomorrow.
That's great. That's great to hear. So first things first, you know, this draft in general, it's funny. I was talking about it on Twitter today, how it's different than other drafts that we've been in where we weren't that good of a team, where we had like a top 10 pick. Because
I know
it was so easy to just look at, like, you know, your top 10 favorite prospects at any position, and you could even eliminate some of those because quarterbacks were always taken before the Bills. So it's a little bit different than most years because the Bills have the 30th pick. They didn't even have a pick last year in the first round because of the trade for Stephon Diggs. They have a pick. It's number 30. A ton of things can happen in the first round. So, I mean, even from there, is this the most you feel like you've had to do research in the past, or does the research and all the work that you put into, you know, all of the writing and the war chart that we're going to talk about later, does that stay the same no matter what?
Well, I still like to dive deep and find out a little bit more about the different players just because it's my hobby. And being retired does have its advantages, and certainly being isolated at home has its advantages. So we've gone deep this year.
you mentioned to me, you know, before the podcast that you're, you know, a former educator, which is great because you're going to have to educate me on the draft because I've been doing mock drafts and stuff like this, but I have not dove into like the prospects to the level that you have at all. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation. So first things first, you know, in general, in your opinion, in this draft in 2021, what positions does it, because each year everything's different. Some drafts are deeper at, you know, quarterback or running back or offensive tackle. What is this position, or what positions is this draft deep in, and what positions is this draft really thin at?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, it's deep again at wide receiver. It's deep again in the offensive line positions. More tackle than guard, and more guard than center. And then the positions that are thinnest, I'd have to say tight end. It's quite thin at. And if I have a feeling that if you wanted, let's say, a strong safety, you'd probably have trouble as well. There's some good ones, but you're going to run out of them. Mm-hmm. So the big thing is what demand is like, and the demand for offensive tackles could be just like at an all-time high. Before the Bills pick, there could be 6 or 7 offensive tackles off the board. So to me, that's like incredible. You could be down to some player like Eichenberg, Carmen, maybe Jalen Mayfield, although I have a feeling he'll go early too. So if I'm the most important free agent signing the Bills made was Darrell Williams, because Darrell Williams is occupying the most in demand position in the upcoming draft. There is speed galore for 3 rounds at least as far as wide receiver. We haven't seen something like that even last year. So very, very impressed with the speed that's available for Brandon Bean, because he says he likes speed. We're going to take him at his word.
So the Bills, you said, you know, you talked about re-signing Darrell Williams in free agency. And, you know, there's a ton of offensive tackles in this draft. And I'm wondering if that position at all is off the table. And part of me thinks it might be because they re-signed Darrell Williams. But then part of me thinks that, you know, from what I understand, Darrell Williams' contract is mostly like a 2-year contract. It's not like fully guaranteed all three. You know, the Bills aren't married to Darrell Williams past this year. And I'm wondering if they would even go offensive tackle or potentially, I mean, a guard especially. I mean, they're not married to John Feliciano after this year. They don't know what they have in Cody Ford yet or Ike Butker. You know, this is just, it's one of those things where, like, I could see them going offensive tackle or offensive guard in the first round. When you look at, you know, the areas and positions of need for the Bills and, you know, where they could improve, which I think they can improve in their offensive line and in pass blocking and run blocking. Do you think that they would make a swing for that? Or, I mean, as far as,
yes,
you could see that. Okay.
Oh yeah. If you think of, okay, who's behind Deion Dawkins? Well, it isn't Tyane Seki. He's gone to the Cowboys. Do you think it could it be Trey Adams as your swing left tackle, right tackle, or is he just right tackle? Darrell Williams is 27, has three more years, but there's not a lot behind him if Trey Adams isn't ready to go. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Feliciano. Well, Jordan Devey is behind him, and he's re-signed for only 1 year. So I think, yeah, I think they're going to go guard, and they could go as early as the first round. If you could promise me that Wyatt Davis would make it to our pick, he'd make a wonderful first round pick for the Bills. It's not a sexy pick, but that's a pick that usually, there's usually a pretty good guard still left on the table. Elijah Vera Tucker of USC would be another guard that could go as early as round one.
Wow. So in general, so like we were talking about the draft and I noticed while going through some of these prospects, like we're going to talk edge prospects later with the guys from Miami. And I noticed, you know, one of the top prospects, he didn't even play in the 2020 season. I know that a lot of the prospects, I mean, more so than any other year for obvious reasons, you know, didn't play and they opted out this past season. Is it going to be a really tough time for these scouts around the league to really evaluate these draft prospects more so than other past seasons because you have guys that only had maybe one good season of production and never got a chance to either, do it again in the 2020 season or guys that had a down year in 2019 that will get drafted even lower because they didn't play in 2020. I mean, is it going to be a tough? It's going to be a tough go for a lot of the NFL evaluators and scouts out there, won't it?
Well, one clue is that they did go to quite a few schools this year. They started with just visits to Tulsa and Penn State. They went to Georgia Tech versus Florida Tech. That was the first game they went to. So think Hampson Nasruddin or Marvin Wilson, Asante Samuel. And then they did Oklahoma and Penn State. That was the second visit to Penn State. Again, probably Micah Parsons, Jason Owe, maybe Pat Freiermuth, but we can talk about him later. By the end of September, they'd also gone to Mississippi State at LSU. So you think, oh my gosh, there was so much talent between Mississippi State and LSU, and Mississippi State beat them. By the end of September, they'd already been to quite a few places. And if you look at BuffaloFanBase.com and you go to Scouting the Scouts by yours truly, I wrote three articles on where they went and who they were looking at. So those would be good ones to look at, Scouting the Scouts.
Oh yeah, I've seen those over there. I definitely recommend people to check them out. In fact, you are going to be releasing soon, if you haven't already, the Bills Mafia war chart that you create each season. Can you talk to listeners about your war chart and what it is and how helpful and useful it could be to the listeners and people interested in Bills draft prospects?
Yeah, what it is I color-coded each visit and each scouting contact that the Bills made. Each drafted player from 2018, 2019, and 2020, if they were scouted once or twice, they were color-coded for that. If they were visited at the Senior Bowl Zoom Pro Day, and then did the GM or the assistant or the position coach show up at the Pro Day? I put those in black. So now for instance, in round one, the GM and or assistant and or position coach saw Jalen Waddle, forget about him, Quiddy Pay, probably forget about him, unless we're trading up, Asante Samuel, Travis Etienne, Christian Barmore, and Alex Leatherwood. But we also had Zoom interviews with Darisaw Jenkins, both OTs, Wyatt Davis, a guard, and Penn State was visited like four times this year. So that's Owe and Freiermuth mm-hmm. in that first round. So there's certainly a lot There's certainly a lot to go on there.
Oh, yeah. And how do you find out this information as far as where scouts go? I mean, do you have insider knowledge? I mean, how do you know exactly where they've been and who they've looked at?
Yeah, so there are sources, but there are also guys who tweet it out. Chase Goodbread is a great source out there, and other both ESPN and NFL writers that will post. But you also have to know who does the announcing at each school about who shows up at Pro Day, and try to follow as many of them as you can on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I track jets too. so I got a very good tip from a friend of mine as well. That led me to, find out, they just went to Auburn again.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. That's Seth Williams. That's Anthony Schwartz. Mm-hmm. That's KJ Britt. So, you know, most people would probably stop and just read it on Twitter. I make another spreadsheet, because I'm a nerd. So yeah,
that's great. No, that's great. And by the jets, at first I thought you meant the team, the jets, but you meant like the private jets of the staff and everything
right.
like that, and the scouts.
Yeah.
That's really interesting stuff, Dean. I don't want you to give away all your secrets, obviously, because
no, the people... you have to know. You have to know. You also have to know where the position coaches live, and when you know where they're flying, and you know whatever. If a jet goes to Tulsa, it doesn't mean they're drafting Zaven Collins. It means that the Babbages are going home for the weekend.
That is really cool stuff.
It's like spying, isn't it?
A little bit. But, yeah. You know, hey, if we're being open and honest about it, then it's not really spying. I mean, spying is something
that's
you
right.
do like in secret, right? We're talking about it out loud. So
that's right. Exactly.
So that's really cool. I would absolutely recommend people. And I know we're going to talk about some of these positions. So I've done a ton of mock draft simulations, which I want to get into some of these like right now, because I mean, I've only done the first three rounds. And as you know, the further you go down the rabbit hole, I mean, the more variation it can be, obviously. If you're only talking like the first two or three picks, there's very little variation it can be between the top three players. And top 30, you're talking so many more variations, like the top 90, you're talking so much more. So I think I'm going to keep it to that. And obviously, I'm going to get your information or your thoughts on some late round sleepers a little bit later. But first things first, I noticed in the first round through the simulations, the position that keeps coming up more often than not is edge defender. So we're talking defensive end, edge rusher, someone to get to the quarterback, which is obviously a need for the Bills. Maybe not right away, but contributors right away. And obviously looking past Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison, somebody that needs to be paired on the other side with AJ Epenesa. Who have you seen that would be available, you know, towards the end of the first round, you know, at number 30? And what are some players that interest you around that range?
Well, there are two, and the Bills did hang around Penn State a lot. Four contacts with Penn State, two games, and two Penn State edges are in the top five in terms of low 40 time. Jason Awe, I have him being available, but the most recent draft tech mock has him already drafted.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is Shaka Toney, and he's probably a pick 130, something like that. So, you know, he might be there. He might not be there. When the Bills pick, either in the fourth round, if they get a pick, or, they'll take him early at 93.
Mm-hmm.
So those two are really, really on my radar. The other one that jumps out at me is Patrick Jones. Patrick Jones is Pittsburgh, and I love the edges there. They've Patrick Jones, they've got Rashad Weaver, and both of them have exactly the same physical type, 6'5", 260. They're both have the 4.7 speed that the Bills tend to want. That's Hughes and Darrell Johnson both ran a 4.69, so that fits. They both had excellent interviews. They both play for 4.3, so does Penn State. I think that's why the Bills didn't go to the Miami Pro Day, because they run a 3.4, and Quincy Roche was too small for their physical archetype. You want to be in the mid 250s like Hughes and Darrell Johnson. I think Roche was like 235, something like that.
Oh, really? Because so, I was going to ask you, because Gregory Rousseau is the one that shows up the most in my mock simulations, yep. besides Jason Owa, which you just mentioned from Penn State. And so yeah, it's either him and Jalen Phillips, but you're telling us that the Bills did not even bother to go to Miami's pro. Is that a clear sign to you? I mean, have the Bills ever drafted a guy in the first round that they never went to go see at their pro days?
They saw Oliver, they saw Allen, and then really back in 2017, it was McDermott's first draft, mm-hmm. and Bean wasn't there yet. Mm-hmm. So we don't have, they saw Epinesa. They even saw, this is crazy, but they even brought in Darrell Johnson, our seventh rounder in 2019.
Wow.
They brought him in for an interview. It was because of his tackles for loss per game. Wow. was really high. So that was an interesting thing. So the answer to, as far as edge goes, is no, they have not. They brought them all in. The Bills have gone to Florida State. That's Janarius Robinson. He'd be a late edge, but he has the same physical archetype. He's just slower. Mm-hmm. And Osa Odigizua from UCLA got a Zoom interview. And Jonathan Cooper, Ohio State. That's it. Hmm. So I personally think that they're going to make a move before the draft at edge that will take care of that position. I have no idea how they're going to do that. Or they've got a diamond in the rough like Peyton Turner or something like that that they'll take in round three.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
I don't. They're the guys. If Awa is gone, they're not drafting edge in round one. They'll go line, or they'll go cornerback.
Well, let's talk about cornerback, because that was the second most drafted position in my simulations. I have players like Eric Stokes out of Georgia, Caleb Farley out of Virginia Tech, just recently started getting Aaron Robinson out of UCF. What kind of guys are you seeing, you know, towards the end of first round, around pick 30, and who would you, is there anyone that you'd like to see them pick?
Well, I have a feeling that my wishes won't be honored, because I like Ife Melifonwu in the second round, mm-hmm. but I'm not wild about the choices in the first round. If they trade down and they can get an extra pick, I'm one of those guys that still likes the idea of bringing in a Sean Wade, because he could play. He could play free safety for you, or he could play corner, or he could battle Taron Johnson, you know, nickel corner, that type of thing.
Sean Wade of Ohio State. You have him, so he sounds, yeah. He sounds very versatile from what you're saying.
Yeah, and wicked fast, and he's 6'1". So mm-hmm. So why wouldn't you draft Sean Wade if you traded down? Mm-hmm. Well, Tyson Campbell, you mentioned him. I think you mentioned him. Did you mean Caleb Farley?
I said Caleb Farley. Yeah.
Yeah. So Caleb Farley, his appeal would be that he could also be your kick returner. All he has to do is get better, and your doctors are pretty good in Buffalo. So you'd be getting first round talent, and you'd be getting. All you have to do is be patient, and you've got a real good one.
Well, Caleb just went into, just had surgery, didn't he? He had back surgery?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he'll be out until training camp.
Yeah. And that, and that second procedure on him, on his back, it would be a, you know, it's a simple surgery with little chance of issues persisting. It's probably, well, he is PFF's top cornerback. He has ball skills like crazy. He'll probably be the fastest 40 whenever all of them are done. And 24 miles an hour on a GPS tracker. So how bad can he be?
Exactly. It sounds like, so if you have a choice of what position you're looking at in the first round, you mentioned they're probably not going to look at edge unless it's Jason Owe of Penn State. It doesn't sound like you're stoked about this cornerbacks at the end of the first round. I mean, what position do you like? Do you like wide receiver? I mean, or offensive line?
Yeah, I do like some of the offensive line choices that may or may not be there. The name we're hearing real recently, because the scouts went to BYU, was Brady Christensen, and he just blew away some of the explosion drills, like broad jump. He probably would be in that conversation. The other one that they went and personally went to was Rashawn Slater. Well, he's going to be long gone by the time the Bills draft at 30, unless they're not planning on drafting at 30. Tevin Jenkins had the Zoom interview. He's the right tackle, right guard, Oklahoma State. He's a wonderful character, and he would really get that versatility box check. He's played right tackle, left tackle, right guard. So they visited twice with Oklahoma State, and of course Alex Leatherwood. Nobody is talking about the fact that Dable knew Leatherwood at Alabama that first year.
So you're talking, and he's probably, you're looking at the first round for Leatherwood. I mean, possibly even earlier than when the Bills are picking, potentially.
I think it's going to be right there. So some of the offensive tackles that are being stacked on top of Leatherwood, he was originally, I think, our second offensive tackle at Draft Tech back in the summer. Mm-hmm. So it's like he didn't lose ability. Mm-hmm. So, and Alabama was the, as far as the power success rank, the Bills saw the number one team in power success rank and number five team in power success rank. The number one team just was Tommy Doyle. And Tommy Doyle is Miami of Ohio. And the guy is huge. The guy is engaging, and Bobby Johnson just went to his pro day, so there he would be late. He'd be like in that fourth, fifth round. So again, a wonderful idea. Get a fourth rounder.
Yeah, absolutely. What did you say? The power success rack.
Yeah, it's a power. It's a power success rank.
A rank.
Okay, mm-hmm. And it's at footballoutsiders.com. I think you just either can Google it or put it into Twitter, and you'll find all of the ones in which order. And the Bills seem to pay attention to that. So they went to 1, 5, 6, 12, and 13 this year, and 20. So they must consider that to be a thing.
A good,
you know, it's like, how does the guy play with his front offensive line? So, yeah.
I can definitely see them, whoever they decide to pick the offense, which I hope they do address the offensive line this year, because they didn't draft anyone for the offensive line last season. I can only imagine it's going to have versatility, whether it's swing tackle, like you said, left tackle, right tackle, or if it's, you know, left tackle, left guard, like left side sort of thing, or like guard / center. Like I can't see them drafting someone who's only a right tackle. You know what I mean?
That's exactly. The only one that they did is probably going to be a preferred free agent, and that was Carson Green. He's a right tackle, and he can't probably be any other position. So all of the others are versatile, and you've heard Bean and others say he's got to be versatile, mm-hmm. you know? So
Carson
gotta
Green
play more than one position.
Yep, absolutely. Carson Green is the right tackle out of Texas, it looks like.
Yeah,
awesome.
And
Texas
A&M. Carson Green, Texas A&M, and he'll probably be one of those. He'll be one of those PFAs, undrafted. The way I describe him is he looks like Josh Allen's chubby brother.
Oh, well, when you're saying like that, I hope they get him. I hope they just get the seventh round pick on him just to make sure that you get Josh Allen's chubby brother.
That's just so I can use that. Right. I can use that. Jackson Carmen did get a visit. He plays for Clemson, and Bean was at the Clemson pro day too. So Jackson Carmen is probably going to fall to round two, but I would not be upset if Bean took him early, and I'd be ecstatic if Bean traded down and still got Carmen. So that's how I feel about. Are they going to draft a center? Probably not. There's two of them, Landon Dickerson, who again Dable would know, and we don't have any information about. The Bills going to see any of the others. So, well, Dickinson, that's it. Mm-hmm. Dickerson, and we don't have Bean going to Oklahoma to see Creed Humphrey. But those mm-hmm. are the only two.
Now, like, going into round two, in the areas that I was looking at through the simulations, I'm getting a lot of wide receivers being drafted, like different, and for the most part, it comes out between two wide receivers that the Bills, and maybe you can help me out to see if the Bills have even visited these players, or if you've even think that the Bills might draft them. Is Chitarius Atwell, the wide receiver out of Louisville, and Nico Collins, the wide receiver out of Michigan. Are you familiar with these two wide receivers? Have the Bills gone to visit these guys at all?
Yeah, they've totally ignored Tutu Atwell. And they have seen another guy, Elijah Moore, in that same, and Dwayne Eskridge. He might be one of the fastest in this. But like their interest in another Smurf might be taken care of with the signings that happened this week. So they've got speed that they added at wide receiver, but I think Bean wants to be prepared for any eventuality that if a player they love is there, he's going to grab him regardless of position.
Yeah, the Bills just signed Brandon Powell to be their returner potentially,
yeah.
or at least compete, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, I could easily see, we were talking about positions where, you know, they're looking to replace guys in a year, maybe two. I could see them taking a chance at a guy that could be Isaiah McKenzie's replacement or Brandon Powell's in this case, you know, next season. And I mean, when you're looking at, so you're saying, which wide receivers do you see being like that kind of small, speedy replacement? You know,
well, the speed burner, the John Brown, if you will, mm-hmm. is Anthony Schwartz. He's from Auburn. They scouted Auburn three times. He'd be slot, but he can also go out wide and just make, you know, go crazy down the field. I had him expected to run a 4.22. No, I had him going a little higher than that, and he ran a 4.22. I think that was the case there. Racy McMath, you've never heard of him, but I just wrote about him in an article. He's a raw, big guy, but he runs really fast. He has no route running acumen whatsoever. But and then Elijah Moore from Ole Miss, If I had to pick one more, I'd say Diami Brown in the third round. He's a North Carolina guy, but they did a Zoom interview with him. Couple right there, Diami Brown and Daz Newsome, actually. They're both from North Carolina. Diami Brown interviews a little bit better. He's a little bigger. So that probably, to me, I'm going to go with Diami Brown being the other guy. He does not have any kick return experience, but boy, can he burn.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, we mentioned edges in the first round. There's a player that keeps coming up over and over in my mock drafts in the second round, and that's Joe Tryon, the edge defender out of Washington, University of Washington. What are your thoughts on him? Have the Bills gone to visit him?
We know the least amount about players that are out on the West Coast, and there's a couple of reasons for that. One is that, and I believe the guy I mean is Doug Majewski, the director of scouting.
Mm-hmm.
He handles the West Coast, and Doug Majewski, he's been there the longest. He was kept during the Whaley purge, and he was a coordinator of college scouting, but he's also the Bills West Area Scout. He lives out there for the most part, and does his scouting without planes, without announcement, without fanfare, and the Bills are starting to listen. If you think about the Pac-12 players that have come onto the Bills, Zach Moss this year, Isaiah Hodgins this year, and Harrison Phillips in 2018, mm-hmm. The Pac-12 has become tied with the SEC for the most number of players from the Bills. The ACC is king, but the Pac-12 and the SEC are second.
So I want to ask
where they get them.
Yeah, very cool, very interesting. I'm looking at positions where the Bills could potentially take someone in this draft as a replacement for someone, and I keep coming back to one tech defensive tackle. And it's one of those needs that doesn't get talked about enough. It's not as flashy or sexy as, you know, a defensive end or edge rusher or a cornerback or maybe even a wide receiver, right? But at the same time, it's necessary. And we saw that this year when we didn't have a true Star Latulele on the defensive line. You know, when you look at these guys, I mean, are there any that stick out to you, and like what rounds do they tend to go in? Are they in the first round, or can you get like a one tech defensive tackle starter in like the third round?
Yeah, you can. As a matter of fact, the ones that the Bills have seen and what round that they're going, it's funny because I just turned in an article to Robin Mundy, my editor at Buffalo Fanbase, that talks about this, but the best one tech is Marvin Wilson, Florida State. Bean went there. He's 6'4", 311, and he's very nimble. He could add on weight easily. He runs a 4.95 40. He can play in any scheme, and he's a great interview. I encourage you to go find that. He's played special teams. He's played three tech. He's even moved out to edge on certain plays. He's had, like 34 games played, which is more than anybody, in the top 100. To me, it's a no-brainer. You get Marvin Wilson on a little bit of a trade down. And, I think you could get him, and a fourth rounder for your 30, you know, for your 30 pick.
Oh, gotcha. So you're seeing him go at like the end, at the beginning of round two. Is that where you're noticing him go? Okay.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, in the last mock draft, the Bills, spoiler alert, the computer assigned me Asante Samuel, and I wanted to learn more about him, so I kept him as our pick. And I went and I looked to see where, you know, how far down did Marvin Wilson go. He was available at the Bills' second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. You can take somebody to take care of tight ends in the first round. Take Marvin Wilson from Florida State as your one tech in the second round, and then maybe take your edge in the third round. They're interested in Deo Odeigbo from Vanderbilt, and there's a one tech down there, Jonathan Marshall from Arkansas, that you could flip flop those two picks if you had to take your edge early.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Okay. Wow. So, I mean, I'm looking at, you know, these positions. In one of my simulations, one guy that came up in the third round was Tyler Shelvin out of LSU. Do you know if he fits that mold too for one tech?
We have too much fun with Tyler Shelvin. We say he will strike fear into the Chinese buffet owners of whatever city he goes to.
big boy.
I think because LSU runs a 3-4 that he's probably still on the board because Bean has drafted nose guards from a 3-4 quite often, because Harrison Phillips was, Ed Oliver was, although he shouldn't have been playing nose guard. Mm-hmm. There's an argument that Shelvin is the perfect low tool lay because he's a big load and you got to put two guys on him. Cause he just leg churn is probably his specialty, but he isn't my favorite player.
Okay. Okay. Now you mentioned, Asante Samuel Jr., the cornerback out of FSU, potentially being a guy that could slide inside and take care of tight ends. You know, this is something that's this is something I think about more and more, especially recently with the Patriots signing Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry as their tight ends in free agency.
Yeah.
There's Miami Dolphins have Mike Gesicki, which is a really good young tight end. There's a potential people are talking with when they traded up to their number six pick that they could draft the best tight end in the class with Kyle Pitts, and have that two tight end combo. And the Bills are stuck still not really being able to, they just had a really bad, they had a rough time defending tight ends last season. They were one of the worst in the league at that. And, you know, a lot of that had to do probably with injuries to Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds. But when you look at guys that could potentially cover tight ends, I mean, do you look, I never know, and me not being a draft expert like you are, like, do you look at the guys that are safeties, at cornerbacks, like maybe even like smaller linebackers, like coverage linebackers? I mean, what do you look for in this, like, this position that people have called like the Buffalo nickel or the big nickel? Like what position do you look?
So the tight ends, two things we're talking about here. One is that the probably the this Jacob Hollister that was signed was a sneaky good signing for the Bills, and we already have a pretty good blocking tight end, Tommy Sweeney, on the Bills. So people are saying, well, we don't have the tight ends that that some of the other players in our division have. I'm very happy with Jacob Hollister and Knox as a 1-2. But get me one more. Get me somebody like Tommy Tremble in the fifth would be a possibility. Did you mean who's defending them on our team?
Yeah. I mean, we can talk about ends too, but I was kind of thinking about who would you use to defend those guys in the division?
Yeah, and I don't think Taron Johnson and Cyran Neal are the answer there. We can do some stuff with the way we push our safeties up, so that would be one way. But you also might have to look for a corner with a little more heft than Asante Samuel in the first round. Now Dane Jackson may be the be all and end all, but why did we wait until the seventh round to get him if he was so good? but that's I keep saying, if you Melifonwu in the second or Hampson Nasiril Dean and make him what they call the bandit, that would be the type of player that you're looking for is a bandit type player. The Bills did scout a couple of really good ones who are sort of that hybrid safety outside linebacker, and I think we're still in the market for that. The guys they just brought in are inside linebackers, so look for people that that play more than one position. Calvin Bundage is a late round Oklahoma State bandit type guy. Peyton Turner is a great one, and Eric Turner on Twitter has done a study of Peyton Turner. He's out of Houston at Oliver's school. Mm-hmm. And he plays that. My favorite one, of course, is JOK, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah at Notre Dame. Notre Dame was scouted this year, and while we don't really need a strong safety, and people would argue, well, we've got Milano, we don't really need that either. It would be nice to have another one.
Oh yeah.
Jacoby Stevens is my favorite. He's a third rounder, LSU. He plays that bandit type role, and he played it in 3-4. He's scary fast, and we don't have fast linebackers for the most part. Edmonds is our fastest at 4.45, so that's not really what is going to do it. You've got to find somebody that's faster than your tight end, but more of a bully too.
Oh yeah, and I think that's definitely a position where I would definitely rather have another Milano on the field a lot of times as opposed to Taron Johnson. Not that, I mean, Taron Johnson is still young. He's still learning the position and getting better at it. But I mean, when it comes to, you know, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith on the field, would I rather have Taron Johnson or another, you know, coverage linebacker who's not, you know, who's like in the 220, 230 range as opposed to, you know, a 180 or 90 pound cornerback or, you know, something like that. That's just my opinion. I'd rather have another Matt Milano.
That's good. If you want somebody that had experience against Pitts, get Donovan Steiner. He's the safety that played against him in practice every day. He's 6'2", 210, has a pretty good tackles per games played record. He was number two in the SEC in interceptions in 2019. So there's a player, Donovan Steiner.
Donovan Steiner out of where? Where's he coming from?
Florida.
Florida, okay.
Yeah, Florida. From Pitts, is Pitts' school. Mm-hmm. So the other place to look is Syracuse. You have Ify Malafonwu, but you've also got Andre Sisco, a safety. He can play either safety position. And Trill Williams could play corner or free safety. We're probably going to need a free safety down the line after you know, Poirier and Hyde hang up their cleats. I just have the feeling that Syracuse is one of those places that the Bills might go. The ACC or the SEC is where he's going to find the Kelsey killer.
Yeah, Melifonwu right now is looking like he's going to be drafted out of Syracuse in the second round. I've heard him on some podcasts lately. People talk about how great he is, not only in, you know, like is like a nickel corner, but yeah, has that ability to be a safety as well. And then you were saying Trill Williams is he's looking more like a third rounder at this point.
Yeah, you probably get him later. And I was so hoping that Melifonwu would fall to the Bills at 61. He went at 59 to Cleveland in the draft tech draft this week. And I see that it was a grab, which means that my fellow Cleveland analyst put in to grab him before the Bills picked. So we'll have to go talk to him.
No, that's good to know, though, who you're looking at and who you would like the Bills to take a look at. And I could honestly see, even if it wasn't, you know, more of like the larger corner or, you know, slash safety slash, you know, big nickel or bandit, like you mentioned, I could see them upgrading at slot corner at some point in this draft too, maybe not in the second or third round, but, you know, maybe to replace Taron Johnson or to compete with him this season, which he really hasn't had a lot of competition, to be honest.
One of my favorite corners is Rodarius Williams, Oklahoma State. He'd have to be a third round pick, but that's better than first or second. Mm-hmm. And then I know that my friend Mookie Hawkins likes Divine Diablo, the safety at Virginia Tech that plays in that Virginia Tech backfield, and with Caleb Farley.
Mm-hmm. What about a name I've heard a lot described, especially specifically nickel cornerback, is Elijah Molden, the cornerback out of Washington. And I've seen him show up on a lot of drafts. Is he mostly nickel, or does he also do boundary corner?
Molden's, I have no record of the Bills going out there. But again, that's that West Coast thing. We don't know, but I'll bet you we'll have at least two of the seven will come from out there. But yeah, I remember that way back when we just started this, like after the draft last year in May, I think it was, Molden came up as one of the Bills picks that, you know, the computer makes, mm-hmm. For the Bills based on need and based on, rank, on the big board at the time. So mm-hmm. wouldn't surprise me.
What about, so I've noticed in the third round in the simulations I'm looking at, the player that comes out by far more than any other player is this cornerback out of Stanford, which you also obviously West Coast, you wouldn't know about as far as, you know, player or people going to games, but his name is Paulson Adebo.
Oh yeah.
What about him? What do you know about him?
I can tell you a little bit about Adebo because one of the things is I listen to interviews of all of them, and he was so interesting to talk about. He's so smart. He's one of the best root diagnosticians that there is. So anticipation plus film study, right? If you have football IQ, you're that's your best trait. Mm-hmm. He's solid. He can play the ball. He's really good at undercutting routes because he knows that he'll never be out of position because all of the film study that he's done. We thought that he'd be a first round draft pick last year, but there were questions about durability, so he returned and that was a good move for him. Just like Dane was last year, we'd like him in a zone scheme, and guess what? We play that quite a lot. Maybe we play it more than most teams. So he'd be a great fit for the zone one. And Ardarius Washington would also be in that regard. He's more of a free safety, but so, yeah, good choice on Adebo. I like him there, and I like same round, maybe second round, and Shakur Brown, Michigan State, same deal. I didn't like his interview as much, but he seemed to be a playmaker. he won't be able to outjump Nuke Hopkins, but he did make some game changes when he was out there. He has special teams value too.
So we talked about, like, if we were going in your priorities, if you were drafting for the Bills, you were talking about offensive line potentially in the first round. You know, in the second round, when you're looking at players that are available, you mentioned on Draft Tech that you had some different positions become available, things that you liked. You know, what are you seeing in the second round, and what are some players that you like, or you could see the Bills taking a look at?
Yeah, well, I know that they like Ife Melifonwu, and I know that they like Patrick Jones. They also like Diami Brown, that Cole Beasley type guy that is pretty shifty. I like Trey Smith, the guard from Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And one more, I'll say Dwayne Eskridge, another guy. He has played wide receiver, cornerback, and kick returner. And I think we've answered the question about kick return with some of our signings, but nobody's faster than Eskridge. So that'd be a good one to add.
So
what's happened with the signings of linebacker is maybe we're not looking for an inside linebacker. Maybe what we're looking for is a more pure outside linebacker, but not in round two. So that's why I didn't say Jabril Cox or Baron Browning.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think they don't really have a lot of depth at all at linebacker, including like middle linebacker. I mean, they signed two guys, yeah, this past week, but I mean, they're just competition at this point. There's no, besides Tyrell Dodson, and who is still so unproven at this point and has an injury
that's
history
right
now. They have to draft a linebacker at some point in this draft, right, Dean? I mean, at least one middle linebacker,
yes,
or outside linebacker.
Yeah, and it might be one of those linebacker safety types, Hamsa Nasiruddin, or we mentioned that one, and then later on there are a few that they really really like. The one that here's the thing that confounds me the most about the draft, other than the fact they didn't go to Miami Pro Day, is how many players they met with in round three. And you can make up all sorts of reasons why round three, but why round three? Are we going to have two picks in round three? Are we going to trade back into round three? How do you trade back into round three without a round four? You know, all of these things that keep me awake at night. So.
Well, like, so on your war chart, which you're talking about, it's funny because you would expect there to be a lot of like bold and colored items for the first rounders, because there's a lot of players that you're going to want to scout and see in that first round. And then, you know, in the second round, you have a lot of color and boldness. And then in the third round, it looks like there's more color, like you said, more color and bold and, you know, more font, you know, like I said,
yeah,
that than even the first round. So yeah, that is very, very interesting as far as where maybe they see a lot of value, or they're looking to, like you said, trade back into the third round. What would that take from the first round, and or would they trade back from the fifth round up to the third round again or something? I don't know. That's really interesting.
That's right. But and the only thing I can think of is you could trade down for, let's say, and get your one tech guy on a trade down in the first round, get a round three or even a round four, and some of these guys are going to fall, because that happens every year.
Oh yeah.
Some of these guys that we think are going to go in three end up going in four.
Mm-hmm.
But there certainly are a lot of them. That's right now. We don't know where Marvin Wilson might end up, but he could be one of those round three picks, you know, that everybody keeps passing on him, or he could go early second round. We don't know about him.
Well, what's interesting is, you know, I mentioned this on the podcast last week. I talked with Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic, and the Bills have never traded down. Brandon Bean as assistant GM, or GM has never traded down from his days in Carolina. And you wondered if it, when it was in Carolina, you're like, well, maybe that was Dave Gettleman making the phone call, you know, there. He didn't want to trade down. But ever since then, ever since Bean's gotten to Buffalo, he's only moved up. He's never moved down.
Yeah. Well, the thing the reason that I put down like trade down decision point is that I just feel that there are spots where you probably aren't going to get a lot of value if you're picking somebody in the next batch, you know, but value is in the eye of the beholder. So we'll see what happens. If the Bills got somebody like, Shaka Toney or Janarius Robinson or somebody like that at edge in round three, they'd be set. There's so many edges in round three that they looked at or scouted. There's five of them. So you have Weaver, Peyton Turner, Oso Odighizuwa, Deo Odenbo, and Janarius Robinson. Oh, and Shaka Toney. So six.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Edge in the third round. Is that what you're predicting, Dean?
Yeah. There you go. I'll never change my mind again.
You won't change it tomorrow or as soon as we get off the phone with each other.
Right.
I have to ask you about this before because I want to get your ideas on some of the sleepers that you've mentioned in some recent articles and some guys that seem like very processed guys or guys that, you know, you've already mentioned some of the sleepers, but we have not talked at all about running back for the Buffalo Bills. And part of me, so like if I want to think logically without any sort of emotion into it, part of me thinks that they won't go running back because for 2 years in a row, they went third round picks. And I think that's kind of high in Bean's mind of like, that's a lot of draft capital. And I don't think he likes to give up on draft picks that quickly. And he defended. You agree?
Yes. And I think that's, you just mentioned the reason why the running back, if they take one, won't be before, let's say their 5B pick.
Mm-hmm. That's what you're thinking too?
Yeah. I'm thinking there are three that are beyond the 5B pick that would be just fine. And Jarrett Patterson is among them. Our local guy here.
Oh, I'd love that. I'd love that.
he's right now on the war chart. He's got the yellow mark in front of him. That's the 5B pick. Mm-hmm. But Javian Hawkins in round six, he's actually the fastest running back in this class. And Bean keeps talking about speed. He brought in a speed demon, this week. So maybe he's crossed him off the list already, but, and then there's a late one, a late running back, Shane Simpson, and, Shane Simpson's a Virginia Tech guy, and they had a Zoom meeting with him. So there's three, and you didn't have to spend a lot of draft capital for it.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I put a poll up on Twitter as far as like the Bills run game woes. And I mean, it's so funny. You talk run game woes and the Bills had the best passing offense in the league. So does it really matter? Maybe not. But at the same time, when you want to run the ball, it's always nice to be able to, even if it's not the biggest part of your offense. And so I put up a poll like who needs to improve next season to help the Bills run game? Is it the running backs, meaning like the talent at running back at Devin Singletary and Zach Moss? Is it the offensive line or is it the coaching? And if it was up to you, Dean, where do you think, which area do you think the Bills need to improve most in the run game next season?
Oh, that's a great question. One of the things that has to be taken into account there is that it was some ridiculously low number of snaps that our starting five offensive linemen took with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they coalesce and stay healthy, that's really going to be the bellwether of whether we have a good running game. We've got two capable running backs, each of which was top three in missed tackles forced in college. And that's how they got on the team. If we want three, we'll take Travis Etienne. Mm-hmm. Then we'll have three in 3 years who were among the top three in missed tackles forced.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like that would be a waste of draft capital to do that. So, you know, you've got Matt Breida, you've got the speed now, you've got two guys that are really strong in missed tackles forced, and you've got the battering ram, Antonio Williams, you know, one cut and go,
mm-hmm.
and Christian Wade, who, whatever he can be.
Yeah.
So that's probably it.
Yeah, you know,
that's the way I would answer your poll is offensive line. Let the offensive line gel with each other. And I think, yeah, the guys have like two more years, three more years, four more years. Yeah, we're good there.
Yeah, I agree. I would have thought that it would be more offensive line related than running back talent related. So the percentage wise is offensive line. It was like 52% of people said offensive line, 38% said running back, and only 10% said coaching. So people are,
yeah.
I mean, when people talk about Travis Etienne, and I was looking at some highlights of, you know, and obviously they're the best runs of Travis Etienne throughout his career, his senior season or whatever, this last season.
Right.
And you know what he didn't have to deal with, which, you know, Bills running backs were, is that, you know, any of the missed tackles he was making were not in the backfield. I feel like Bills running backs were constantly getting berated by defensive linemen just shooting the gaps or not being blocked. So they'd have to, their first missed tackle would be behind the line of scrimmage. And, you know, when you're looking at a Travis Etienne 25-yard run, he's never having to do that. You know, he's making
that's a very good point.
He's making his holes through the line. You know, he's doing amazing things, but he's not having to do it in his own backfield, which I feel like the Bills were doing a lot.
That's a really astute point. And the one that actually forced the most missed tackles was Etienne, but He didn't play that much, but he still got the most missed tackles for us. But it's hard to pick that up in film.
Yeah.
We might actually have the running backs we need, give or take one in the late rounds. If we take a big ugly in the first three rounds, I'm all for it.
So this is the last question I have for you. Thank you so much for taking the time, Dean. You appreciate everything you've mentioned. You've gone over like 100 names. I'm gonna have to listen to this podcast like 10 times to go over everything that we talked about today. But
oh my gosh!
As far as like the late round day three players or sleepers or undrafted free agents, what are some of the guys that you could see the Bills jumping on based on their talent or maybe their intangibles?
Yeah. You mentioned intangibles. That's a good way to do it. What I would look for there is what schools were scouted more than once. Okay. That's Penn State, Auburn, Tulsa, Oklahoma State, LSU, Ohio State, Minnesota, Tennessee, Buffalo, and then they went to, and then Florida State and Alabama got being at their pro day. So we'll take somebody from there that would be a late guess. I mentioned one, Jabril Cox, linebacker from LSU. How about another wide receiver? Seth Williams from Auburn. He's probably round three guy. Tylan Wallace from Oklahoma State. He's probably a round three guy. And there's some other guys. What if the Bills took a Buffalo lineman? You got Coyote Awashika. He's probably a seventh rounder or preferred free agent. He'd be a good one. Amir Smith Marzette, he's one of the better one of the five best kick returners in the draft. That's less of a concern now. And I'll give you one that's really outside, out of the box here. How about in the final round taking KJ Costello, the quarterback. That would blow everybody's mind. Mississippi State did really, really well in the scouted game, and he was cool as a cucumber, and he beat LSU. So that in the scouted game. So that's going to leave an impression.
I had that as a question, but I didn't want to take up any more of your time. But since you mentioned it, Dean, as far as like quarterback goes, I'm thinking that, you know, they're thinking long term. I mean, they probably want to keep Jake Fromm around. I mean, he's a fifth round pick. Bean doesn't like to give up on guys quickly, to a point. But I mean, could you see them just taking? I mean, this would be a guy that you could easily, you know, stash on the practice squad, I would imagine, and compete with Davis Webb, right? So you could see them potentially using one of their draft picks, probably later on a quarterback in general.
Exactly. There are guys that you could do worse with. The Tulsa quarterback would be the other guy I was thinking about. So one of those two, and I'm the name of the Tulsa quarterback is escaping me.
Zach Smith.
But
is it Zach Smith?
I think it is. I think it is. Good call.
Hey, it's on your war chart, Dean.
Yep. Yep, well, I'm glad somebody's watching that. He's like 6'3", 228. He interviewed well. He's had 40 games played. He's declared, and he was a transfer from Baylor. He would have had to start behind Seth Russell and Jarrett Stidham there. He got his chance to play at Tulsa, and that he did really, really well. And he had the second highest 2019 passer rating on deep attempts of 20 yards or more of all of the FBS quarterbacks. And you think about who that includes, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. He's a tough one. And the Bills do visit Tulsa often, but they have homes there. So he's worth a look too.
Okay, great. Well, Dean, I appreciate all the time you've given us today in discussing all of these draft picks, and you know, all
my
your
pleasure.
Thoughts. Where can they find your information over at Draft Tech, and what are you guys doing over there?
Okay, so if you go to drafttech.com, drafttech.com, at the top, just go to team fan pages and go to the Bills fan page. You can actually see all of the picks. We comment on two rounds each week. You can see all of the picks that the Draft Tech computer made. We can override the choice that they make. That would be the easiest way to get in touch. The other one is on Twitter. Just look for KNDIG. And I'll be able to message with you there and talk with you right on Twitter.
Okay, great. Great. And obviously, BuffaloFanBase.com has all your articles that you said, you know, Robin, which we're big fans of. We know Robin well. She's the editor-in-chief for that site, and you have some really great articles I was reading up on before the interview, and you give a lot of in-depth. I mean, you gave a lot of information today, but I mean, there's even more on the site with all the information.
Well, the articles are long, but if you're looking for the most recent one was Bill's sleepers. We were just talking about that. Mm-hmm. So you set me up on that one.
I was looking at the article actually while I was talking to you about it. So it was perfect.
Yeah.
So Dean, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate
you doing this.
You know, best of luck, you know, throughout the draft, and we'll have to get your thoughts on the draft at some point in the future.
It'll be my pleasure. Thank you.
I hope you guys all enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. Dean went into a lot of different players and positions and schools. And I was doing the interview. I had his war chart up, and it was hard to keep up because he's just so knowledgeable and just has so much information. I will probably have to listen to this podcast, like I mentioned before, about 10 different times to really truly go over everything that he mentioned. But I am going to put in the show notes all his information, his war chart. You can find him on Twitter at TCBills_Astro. He has the war chart as his pinned tweet. So you'll find a lot of information there. I'm just such a cool guy, such a fun discussion with him. And we could have talked for 2 hours, to be honest. I'll probably have him on in the future. And it was really fun. He won our Devin Singletary jersey that we were doing over Twitter, and I actually got to meet him because he lives in the area, like kind of close to me. Such a nice guy. Really good follow. The things I found the most interesting from that conversation, besides just about everything, was the fact that first was that none of the three edge rushers from the University of Miami were visited by the Buffalo Bills by either at a pro day or on a Zoom call or anything. It doesn't sound like Brandon Bean has looked at any of those guys. And when you're looking at the University of Miami defensive ends, you're talking about Jalen Phillips, who's expected to be a first rounder. You're talking about Greg Rousseau, who's also expected to be a first rounder, which I've seen going to a lot of mock drafts. And then you're also talking about Quincy Roche, which he mentioned earlier too, who's looking to be around about a third rounder. So apparently the Bills, I mean, if he was to guess, he'd say no. But the other thing was really interesting was how many third round prospects that Brandon Bean and the front office and scouting staff have looked at. And I'm wondering if this just means that they might somehow, if they do trade down from the first round, which we mentioned is the first time in Brandon Bean's history as a GM in Buffalo or an assistant GM in Carolina, the first time he's ever traded down. Or could it mean that the Bills are maybe going to pair up one of their fifth round picks to go get back into the third round since they don't have a fourth round pick? Just some really cool stuff. I definitely recommend you guys re-listening to it. I know I'm going to, and really get a hold of it and understand all the things that Dean mentioned, because he just gave a lot of information and I could have talked his ear off for another hour. So thank you again to Dean Kindig from DraftTrack.com and BuffaloFanBase.com. And have a really fun episode coming to you next, where I'm going to quiz the NFL Draft Brain Trust of BuffaloRumblings.com and talk to their two lead draft writers in Griff and Dan Lavoie, and talk to them about just everything draft and get their ideas on some things. It's going to be a really fun episode, so look forward to that. So for me, Nate, go Bills, and we'll talk to you guys again next week.
Don Brown. Yeah. It's the mafia, you know I'm rocking with the Bills. It's the mafia, you know I'm rocking with the Bills. It's the mafia, I'm with the Buffalo Bills. It's the mafia, you know I'm rocking with the Bills. Who you reppin', what's your team? Who you reppin', what's your team? You know I'm reppin' for my team. I got that Allen on my team. Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, can you catch it? Can you? Trade day is like a mask, you not catching anything. Matt Milano making plays, we not scared of any team. Best in the AFC, all the praise of Brandon Bean. You hear Sean McDermott clapping while I'm snapping? Do you? Jerry Hughes will get the sack soon as you snap it. Yeah. Andre Roberts running back, ain't no just backing. Mafia, we on a ride and we got traction. We got Beasley, we got Diggs. McKenzie make you miss. Dawson Knox with the stiff arm, treat opponents just like his. Feliciano, Deion Dawkins, block defenders like the fence. Hey, it's the mafia, I said no one on top of us. I said no one is blocking us on top of our division. So it's clear that it's no stopping us. Google best team in the league and we popping up. Hey, who you reppin', what's your team? Who you reppin', what's your team? You know I'm reppin' for my team. I got that salad on my team. It's the mafia, you know I'm rocking with the Bills. Yeah. It's the mafia, you know I'm rocking with the Bills. It's the mafia, I'm with the Buffalo Bills. Yeah. It's the mafia, you know I'm rocking with the Bills. Hey, it's the mafia, I said no one on top of us. I said no one is blocking us on top of our division. So it's clear that it's no stopping us. Google best team in the league and we popping up. Home game for the playoffs, but you already snow. Gabe Davis is a rookie, but he playing like a pro. Going through a table, only time we ever fold. Can you dig it? 17, about to take us to the bowl. Hey, don't you run it? No. Oliver and Trey Edmonds gonna be on it. We got Corey, but we barely ever punt it. Never. Cause we just running up the score on our opponent. We got
got Beasley, we got Diggs. Singletary, by the Juke, my the shoes, make a miss, run it in. Zach, also throw the digs. It's the sick, Terry Johnson, pick six to the house, take a flick. Hey, it's the mafia, you know I'm rocking with the Bills. Hey, it's the mafia, you know I'm rocking with the Bills. Yeah. It's the mafia, I'm with the Buffalo Bills. Yeah. It's the mafia, you know I'm rocking with the Bills. Hey, hey, hey. You reppin', what's your team? Hey. What's your team? You know I'm reppin' for my team. I got Josh Allen on my team. It's Steph Diggs on my team. Super Bowl, what you mean?
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, mate.